at some can, or things at some can. Mother picks up his hair, washed his blood the land. Oh, our life's in the slurry. Mama's here, so don't worry. Who's there?
This has been PTO Junction on CILU Radio. I've been your host, Aaron Pearson. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
Some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, and he loaned me 20 bills. I spent the night in Utah, in a cave up in the hills. I said I'm running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Yeah, well, I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. Took my $20 bill, and he vanished in the air. Said I'm running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry away each lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Emery, she's my heart's delight. The second one is prison, baby, sheriff's on my trail. Catches up to me, I spend my life in jail. Yeah, I got a wife in Chino, baby, and one in Cherokee. The first one says she got my child, but it don't look like me. Sit out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get get some sleep tonight. Oh, Charlie. take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Rec and Culture Division of Thunder Bay, bringing free events to the waterfront and all of Thunder Bay. Check out thunderbay.ca/events for more info and follow them on Facebook. Joey's Restaurant, a tasty little place for seafood, located at 595 Arthur Street West. Visit them Tuesdays for all-you-can-eat fish and chips and Thursdays $5 fish tacos. Some conditions apply. The Thunder Bay Blues Fest. Log on to tbayblues.ca to keep up with all the news on Thunder Bay's largest annual music festival, entering its 19th year in 2020.
Here on Thunder Geeks, we like to talk about mature things like comic books and cartoons, and some of the subject matter contains mature themes as well, so listening discretion is advised.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Thunder Geeks are pre-recorded. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Chris.
And Warriors
Thunder, Thunder Geeks!
Welcome again to another very special episode, of course, if this is your first time tuning in. Hi, Warrior Thunder Geeks. Each week we like to get together, talk about the nerdy stuff we've been up to, what's going on in our community, and just try to make you laugh for an hour and a half. Brought to you by our wonderful station, of course, 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. Now, I do have a rare apology and retraction. This doesn't happen often, but, you know, I want to be humble and, you know, own things when I am wrong about something.
What's happening?
Kyle, last week, you did tell me that Hoobie Halloween is one of Adam Sandler's greatest
great movies.
It's a fantastic
great movie.
I was wrong. I was completely wrong. I was so unsure. I was so skeptical. Kyle, I want to say I am so sorry. You were
it's
right.
Okay, man.
This
I told
is
you.
An amazing film. It is a cinematic masterpiece.
100%.
And I think that, I'm very sorry. I owe you an apology, Kyle.
I woke up and my friend's Facebook said she was watching Hubie Halloween. She's like, you know what? I don't hate it. And I was like, oh, we're getting there.
Now, I understand. It is 100% Adam Sandler going, okay, you know what? I'm not going to dress up anything. Who cares about the convoluted explanations to explain my process? I'm going to do the barest form of my story. And, you know, it kind of works. It's immature. It's poorly defined and explained. It is Adam Sandler talking funny for an hour and a half and making boner jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And the thermos is awesome. I don't care. Yeah, no, we did have a correction. He made it in Scouts.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He just made it in Scouts.
He made it in Scouts. It makes complete sense. We have the little thermosets at the end with the for the children's.
The children's that have flare guns inside of them. Because everyone needs a thermos with a flare gun inside of it.
But it was a truly enjoyable film, and I believe a Halloween classic from years to come.
So is this going to be your lineup forever until the
absolutely
until the end of time?
Absolutely, we should watch this movie every year and dwell on Adam Sandler saying he could always do worse.
Adam Sandler is worst.
No, he's
the greatest film auteur of our time.
Oh. Okay, well, I don't know about that, but it was a good movie, yeah.
So does that mean you no longer think Tom Green is the greatest filmmaker?
I mean, they could share the title. We don't want to have to choose a greatest. Everyone gets a participation trophy here, so they can all be the greatest film of all time. They do definitely have some similarities in common, where if you like one of them, you might like the other.
So they're both garbage. Got it.
No. Cinematic masterpiece.
Yes.
You just
don't understand the text. What you see in the cracks of these film geniuses is where the true art lies.
So please explain to me the subtext of Tom Green jerking off a horse.
Do you want me to cover? I know. Hold on. I can cover this. So Tom Green making the horse birth new life into this world is his rendition of the cycle of life. He is producing a whole new universe from the horse's jism. And you know what?
There is also more. There's actually another line. Now, you also notice while he does that, he says, "Look, Daddy, I'm a farmer. I'm a farmer, Daddy. Look at me." Now, this is actually a cry, because you notice his father is actually not there as he commits this act. This is also, on another layer, a showing of a traditional farmhouse job of what your job is as a farmer is to make new life and to sustain life.
Sustaining the lifeblood of the universe.
And his inferiority because his father rejects his true passion, which is these ridiculous animations that no one understands. They are undoubtedly creative. Maybe not good, but undoubtedly creative. And he is crying out to not only his father, but to the father of the universe to say, like, do you want me to do this? Do you want me just to sit here and jerk off a horse all day and make new life and be a farmer, Daddy? Or can I pursue my dreams?
It's
very much a commentary of, like, you know, the toxic masculinity of having, like, the ego the size of a horse and having to provide and renew and just, you know, and I think it's very strong of Tom Green to take that lesson into his own hand, literally, show the world that he is more than just a farmer.
Chris, do you have anything to add?
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
The theme.
Daddy, would you like some sausages?
And it is also, as Megan was, you know, pointing out, a lot of it is commentary upon an insecurity a lot of males will have with their fathers, especially ones that don't live up to a toxic masculine standard. Someone who's lanky and weird and gawky like Tom Green. Really, Freddy Got Fingered is a film for us all to really reflect in. And Rob, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, Rob. We understand you're not good with subtext. You specifically do come to me to ask me, do you understand the subtext on this? Because I see they're saying more, but I don't fully understand it. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to not understand some of those, but there's other things to enjoy it. But this is definitely one of those films where you need to see under the surfaces and see the layers like an onion.
Oh, no.
Is Tom Green trying to enlighten us about the world with commentary about trying to not become a toxic masculine farmer?
Yep.
Summary citrus, yes, but I'm going to go a step farther. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to make that stand that absolutely.
So then, please defend his whole explanation that he was trying to make garbage and he actually accepted his Razzie.
Yes, absolutely. Because by only rejecting the concepts of what a film could be, because a film studio just gave him money because he was famous. He's like, I'm not a filmmaker. That's not my thing. Anyways, but you want me to make a film? Okay, I'm going to make the worst film that I can, but it's still a very true story in that film. And that's all the way it works. When you are intentionally trying to spite the system that you are contained within, it does make something bizarrely interesting. And Hubie Halloween, I think, sits in that little box where Adam Sandler, without a doubt, is raising a middle finger throughout this entire movie, saying, okay, if you don't want me to try, this is me not trying whatsoever. And you're still going to giggle at it a couple times. And I did.
This is like the most punk thing that you do. This is the definition of like being punk.
I'm exactly, and I'm with you on Jack and Jill, Rob. I didn't enjoy it. I actually don't enjoy him twisting up to explain some of these things. I do like a story of a lovable loser, falling in love and achieving all his dreams. This is just taken to the extremes in every fashion where who is hated all over town by everyone for no reason except the one girl whose only job is to give exposition and to be in love. I don't even remember her name. I just now remember it starts with two V's, but there's so many of them in my head I forgot.
I think her name was Victoria Valentine?
Maybe.
Vicky Valancourt.
And also, like, the whole thing is, there's times where it's a different type of joke. So the thermos is actually a brilliant ongoing joke where It has a dumb explanation that doesn't matter because the explanation doesn't matter. You know what? Hubie, his whole thing. And in fact, it's Hubie Shubie Doobie. We learned that. But by him saving the day, not with any of the magical gadgets that he can pull out of the thermos, but just by going with about a bit of soup and just going,
eh. He sniped Sniper with that soup.
Just the barest of reasons of having a thermos all of the time, saved the day. And then everyone loves Hubie.
I love Hubie.
I love Hubie. I'm going to watch this next one. This is a Halloween tradition that I believe we all should adopt.
100%. It's a great movie. 100%.
And it feels good at the end. You know, it just feels good.
It does.
So, Kyle, you were up to Halloween fun this year. You said you got to go along to a haunted fart.
Oh, I did.
Oh, the haunted fart there.
I love Kyle's, like, deer in the headlights look like I did a thing. No. Oh yeah, I did a thing.
A haunted fart.
Yeah, I went to the haunted fart
again.
So for all the years I've been here, I've never actually gone out to a haunted fort.
A haunted fart. So we took a little tour to haunted fort, and there's a couple of spooky things here and there. And I swear to God, there's a little bit of a story, but to kind of screw that up. Anyways, yeah. So we went to haunted fort. At Old Fort William, is that what this is actually called?
Do you know the thing about Old Fort William?
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's weird. We call it okay. Well, it's not weird. It's a branding thing for us to call it Old Fort William because that's not where the old fort was. We built on top where the old fort was and built the replica from pictures, kind of down the river.
It's the new Old Fort William.
Yeah, it's the new Old Fort William. The old Fort William is like where McKellar, I think, is like the East End, like the river near there.
So
I'm not actually sure. You know what? The old fort is so obscure. I don't know where
I'll just ask Vic. She knows.
To the museum. To the museum.
Just Vic knows everything. I'll ask her. So yeah, we went to this haunted fort for my friend's birthday. Right? You get picked up on a bus and you go down to the. They just drop you off and they're like, "There's a fire over there. Go stand there." And I was like, okay.
Okey-dokey.
So I went and like, I'm one of the people that don't get scared by these things because I know first off the actors aren't going to touch you. Nothing's going to actually happen. I think I went with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 girls and another guy. All of the girls, if like a branch broke in the forest, they turned into Scooby-Doo and were just like puffs of smoke. Gone. So you started this fire and your tour guide comes up. Ours was Roscoe. I love Roscoe. He was a phenomenal actor. He never broke character. It was great. I tried so hard. So yeah, he comes up and he's like, "Hey, have you had a nightmare?" And I was like, "All right, we're just going in. Sweet." He's like, there's a ghost lady. I thought he said goat lady first off. And I was like, there's a goat in the forest? I want this. But no, he's like, yeah, there's ghost lady. And so you got to walk to the town for some reason together. I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, the story really didn't make sense. But, you know, you go towards the forest and like there's a little spooky trail and some flashy stuff that happens until you actually get to like the fort, like the fart. Now, first off, I don't know if they just had a fog machine that ran for like 4 days straight before this. But like, you know, there's a big river there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Could not see it. You could be three feet away from it, couldn't see anything.
Oh.
But awesome. it was fog just everywhere. So he's like, while we're walking down the path, and he's like, "Oh, look, there's a door there." And like, I'm sitting there going, I don't see anything. What are you talking about? And then you look at this. No. There's just a big gap in the center of like the fort there. Like, oh, I guess we're going there. So you go in and they're like, "Okay, we have to do three things. We have to find the name of the ghost, find the body of the ghost, and exhume it." I think they said something about carrying the body.
Salt and burn the bones.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Okay, so maybe exhuming.
The last part of it was like, find out how she died, I guess. So you just like walk along.
It's a mystery about Homoida.
You walk along to just various houses that have nothing to do with the story. Like at one point, there's like a pig mask guy who like jumps at you and like a puppet that flicks the light on and off.
Jigsaw?
Like, gets up and moves. And like, he flicked the light off, right, the first time, and he stood up, and he flicked it back on, and I've never heard so many people hit a wall in my life as all of the girls turned around and immediately smacked the wall to try to get away from this guy. That's okay. All right. I'm like, where'd y'all go? We walk past that. It looks great. I'm just going to say it looked great, but I still could not tell you what happened to this girl. Or
Is that your fault, though? Did you never solve the Moita?
No, about a couple houses in, you find out that the ghost's name is Amelia.
Earhart?
I don't remember how.
She died by autoerotic asphyxiation.
I think one of the people just randomly tells you that her name's Amelia in a house, and then you just, like, leave.
I mean, sometimes it's NPCs, Kyle. Sometimes they just have one line. You do not judge them. They are all important and special.
Yeah, some of them had pivotal parts to the story.
Yeah.
We'll get to the two guys there. There was one. You ever smelt just burnt plastic?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day.
So one of the people is, like, trying to get a woman to confess something.
Uh-huh. Confess thyself.
So he's like,
confess!
He's branding this. It's obviously a dummy. Obviously a dummy, right? So, like, sticks the hot iron onto it, and all you smell is burnt plastic in a room. That guy must have been just high all day, every day. That guy was cooked. So you go from there. You walk along. I don't know how long I've lived here. Never really walked around the fort.
Are we talking linear years or
time? Thing is, I know if I went back there, I'd recognize it, but it's been a while, and I've always called for it being my zombie apocalypse bunker plan.
It's a lot bigger than I thought.
Yeah, so you could farm in there pretty well.
Yeah, like, it's pretty sizable.
Does it still have four walls?
Yeah, well, one part of it does.
That's all you need. You just need one part with four walls. And then you could make another wall to expand it out, because I know, like, not all of it is perfectly enclosed, but good for zombies.
So you get there. Down the line, you enter another house, and there's just a body on a table.
Oh.
And that's when your guide's like, oh, it must be Amelia. And I was like, do we take it? Am I supposed to grab this? Is this a part of the story?
You know, if I came upon a dead body, my first instinct is not to start carrying the body somewhere.
Well, why not? He told me that we had to put the body somewhere, so my first instinct was to be like, do I grab it?
All right, let's go.
And then, like, Roscoe just looks at it, he's like, nah, we saw it, it's good enough, and then we just leave. And
I was like... Yeah, because, I mean, I would have picked it up and threw it over my shoulder. It's like, okay, Amelia, here we go.
Like, exactly.
We at Amelia's.
We were just.
Ankles. Looks like I got a big one.
I don't know what was happening there, but that just, we found her.
Good for you.
And then you just continue walking along for a couple more buildings that have nothing to do with the narrative, and you come upon a doctor's office.
Yeah. Oh, I touched the wrong end of something once there. I believe it was the disemboweler.
So you got re-emboweled?
No, I just picked it up and it's like, hey, what's this? They're like, don't touch that end. I'm like, uh-oh.
So you just find the doctor person. He starts narrating something. I don't know.
I'm a doctor.
He's something to do with, I think he killed Amelia.
Why?
No, no cat girls in the kingdom.
So he was one of those things that, like, flicked the light on and off.
Oh.
Like, he'd flick the light off, and then he'd, like, run towards you, and he'd flick it back on, and the girls would all be behind me, and I'm like, am I dying first?
Wait. How are they flicking the light, like, with the light switch?
They have little buttons. They're like, did you know the fort has remote-controlled lights?
No.
That's
so authentically...
The fort has their little buttons in their hand that they, like, click it, and they... The light turns off.
Oh, man. You know, I say I want that for a zombie bunker. Do you know how scary that would be if anyone can do that? It's going to be... So that might
guess
be
a good tactic.
But, like, I don't... Okay, so they think he was... he called me by my name, because at one point he's like, what's your name? And I was like, oh, hey, I'm Kyle. Howdy doody. I was like that this whole time, by the way. They were like, we need somebody to kill something. And I was like, all right, what am I killing? I almost broke the door, by the way. He's like, at one point, he's like, you got to open the door. And I was like, okay. so what? And it pushed to the door. It didn't move. And he's like, there's a little thumb thing on top of the handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Click the little thumb thing. Yeah, I didn't see that. So I tried to bash the door in with my shoulder.
Oh, my
God. And I was like, Roscoe just like.
Yeah, okay, so he was like, maybe not. We'll just use the thumb thing. And I was like, well, you told me to open the door.
Let's split up. Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
What if it versus if you did break the door? You just went, wah!
Yeah, just burst through the door and scared the actual actors.
But we also know things don't work like they're in an action movie, so we're probably not going to bust through a window if we're running through a serial killer. If we try, we're just going to break up our arm going, ah, shoot.
So, like, you know, we get to the end there, and he's like, yeah, so what's your name? And I'm like, hey, I'm Kyle. I don't know if I said my name twice or something, or, like, he just decided to give me a nickname, because me and, like, half the group thought he kept calling me Kyle Pyle. I don't know why, but I'm like, are we dating now? Is this the thing? I'm like, you're pretty cute. Like, we gonna date here, big guy? I'm gonna cheat on Roscoe, but, like, anyways, as we're like, he's like, yeah, we need Kyle Pyle. Then a ghost shows up, it kills him, I guess, and then it's just over. He's just like, oh, okay, we figured it out. And then the bus shows up, and you leave. And I was
Did we
figure it out?
Did you kill a doctor?
Oh, at one point there's a full on American, or I guess not American Psycho, just Psycho moment where you show up and you're like, let me ask this mother a question, and it turns out it's the son of the mother, and the mother's a skeleton in the room. Okay. And I was like, like, they pulled this out, and I was like, so which one on your team watched Psycho recently? Is this the Bates Norman Motel? Bates.
Yeah.
Like, this is good, scene for scene. I don't know why.
I mean, it was a good old effort.
It honestly, visually, was pretty cool. They had, like, firecrackers and, like, flashbang cannons go off.
The narrative was secondary to just seeing some cool effects at the fort.
The other review things, they're like, would you fill out a survey at the end of it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, they're like, what was the best part? Roscoe.
Good, Roscoe. Awesome. Good answer.
Yeah,
good
Roscoe answer. Was my favorite. He was a great actor. He did the whole tour. He told a joke halfway through, and it was like the first half of the joke, and then like 10 minutes later told the other half of the joke. And I actually burst out laughing when he like finished the joke, and I was like, kudos, man. I was not expecting this, but you know what?
And also, if it was a film, what you would see, that'd be the smash cut where he'd tell the first part of the joke, and then would cut to where you are in the new location, and then you'd finish the joke.
Well, it was okay. So the joke was about him and his three friends, or his two friends, mm-hmm. were throwing bricks in the air to see who was the strongest.
Oh,
he's
of
like,
course.
As boys do, you know, Kyle. And I was like,
I mean, yeah. You none of my friends something straight up into the air.
None of my friends are physically active, man. You're asking the wrong man.
I wasn't good at it. I didn't win.
So he's like, yeah. So like, my friend threw it up, and it went only like an inch in the mud. My next friend threw it; it went like a couple feet. And I threw my brick, and it never came back down. And that was the end of that joke.
I know this joke.
And like, so 10 minutes later, he's talking about it like an airplane.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, me and my friends were getting on an airplane, and like, there's no smoking sign, so like, threw the guy's cigarette out the window, and there's the guy had a parrot with him, and it's like, sorry, there's no birds on this flight, so he threw the parrot out the window. A few minutes later, you hear a knock at the window, and it's the parrot, and guess what he's holding? And everybody's like, oh, it's a cigar, and he's like, no, it's my brick! And I was like... Okay, you got me. That was funny.
That's really good.
That's one of my favorite jokes still.
I was like, yeah, you know what, Roscoe? You nailed it. He's like, do you guys have any jokes? And I was like, you want to hear? That's actually, but he's like, does have any jokes? And I was like, my self-esteem, but hi. oop. Yeah, that's what I wrote in the survey. I was like, you know what? The story kind of sucked.
Well, I mean... It's definitely not set in fort times. It sounds like it's more modern.
Oh, no, they were like, had little lanterns and like...
But then they had the clickers.
Well, you're not supposed to see the clickers. It's supposed to be a haunting effect, but when you see the guy get up and his hand go like this.
Okay, so maybe that was part of it. If they would have done it like, but if they were hiding the clicker.
If he was better at hiding the clicker, maybe.
That's constructive criticism. Hide your future technology.
Hide your clickers future the tech. Next time you do the thing.
I think when we went to like Old Fort William a long time ago when I was like really young, I think I was like prepubescent, maybe pubescent.
So last week?
Also last week, I wish. Oh my gosh, I want to be young again. No. I was so in love with the Old Fort because they had like this whole skit where they like rang these bells and they took like three people out of one of these other places and they're like, this person's an adult and this person is a witch and this person adulted the witch or something stupid. But they like put them in those things where like you have your arms and your like hands in and then like
the stockade.
Stockade.
The what?
Stockade.
The prison.
Yeah.
That's when so you have put like, them the in wooden those. Block around your head and your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. The yoke or whatever I guess they called them.
Stockade.
Anyway.
Stockade.
What? I don't even remember. That's
stockade.
And then they stuck in those, and then you could like go and like heckle them, and I just like went over there, and I was like, you shouldn't do the people.
You don't roast very well.
And they were like, young girl, are you a witch too? And I was like, maybe. I was like, want to find out.
Megan goes to the Old Fort to her dress as a witch. Hi, good people. Totally. Come to steal your children.
Your children. And I was so obsessed with the Old Fort that I was like, yeah, I want to get like a job. Like over summertime, and I thought that you could stay at the Old Fort and like the people who worked there like lived there and stuff. Boy, was I wrong.
I have but I didn't have to experience it.
I thought you could like volunteer there for a summer and like stay in a bunkhouse.
I think it was grade 7. There were 2 grade 7 classes. My class got to go back to Kingfisher, and we had a good fun time. The other class went to the Old Fort, and they had to sleep in the tents outside, and they ate porridge every day because the teacher was super adamant on making it accurate, and there was bugs in their porridge, and they hated it, and they had to work. They actually had to work for like 3 hours there, and sometimes it was actual physical labor, like they had them chopping wood, and they would do
I'm in!
But so these were children. They were just making children drop. While we were going, snowshoeing and cross-country skiing and sleeping in cabins.
Think about this. Kyle's children. He can do it. He's fine.
Kyle is baby.
I'll do it. You want me to cut some wood? You want me to like be an ox for you, baby? I will run that plow through things.
You remember when you tried to plow through the door, Kyle? I don't think you can ox it.
That door gave way. They are not very sturdy.
They're adorable.
Just need one more good one.
But when, like, 300 pounds hits a door that's made out of, like, 400,000-year-old wood.
I mean, how many times have I gone through our door?
Can you stop kicking down our door?
I never kicked. I shoulder.
Can you stop breaking the door?
Can you stop breaking our door?
Rob, just try to text first, please.
I'm in the house.
I have never broken in while Kyle was here.
Yes, you did.
Oh, shoot, I have.
Yeah, you did.
Rob, you're stupid.
Kyle has broken doors.
And you're Einstein?
Einstein enough to know the text first.
Hey,
or have a key.
A couple times.
I have not, under the same circumstances, broken a door.
Yeah.
But you have.
I've, done construction on houses.
Yeah, that's valid.
The deck looks great.
I broke cabin.
You lifted up a whole deck once.
I did lift up the whole deck.
A whole deck?
Yeah, I went on my hands and knees, pushed up, and lifted the entire deck up so Virgil could do stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my only task of strength is when I've helped Virgil.
Yeah.
So not
pretty much whatever that, we do.
That's literally all. If Chris goes, hey, we need your help, and I'm like, oh, what do I need to lift?
It's true.
Oh yeah, I mean that's generally like, okay, I'm young and strapped. All of my physical labor is for other people asking me to lift heavy things for them, and I'm like, oh well, I guess.
Well, don't it's a good time at the haunted fart.
It was a good time at the haunted fart.
I will say, I have never seen Kyle more happy than when he was in his Dwight costume, because he was a happy boy. He's like, look at me. Look how pretty I am. Look at my hair.
His assistant regional manager for a day.
To thee.
Shut up, Jim.
We need to head to our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
Have you ever gone to Old Fort William, like, during Halloween times, like, during the day when they have, like, the activities and stuff?
Never.
Nope.
It's cute. It's cute. They have, like, story time and stuff, and there's, like, one actor who's, like, really good, and they, like, tell stories, like, as a witch, but they tell, like ghost stories and stuff, and they're so, like, the people put in a lot of effort to make it really fun, and, like, yeah, it was really good.
Well, like, that's what I mean. Like, Vic's worked at the fort for I don't know how long.
Ever?
Yeah, forever. Up until, you know, the COVID hit. But, like, she'd tell me all of the exciting things that happened there. And she's like, yeah, this event's happening at the fort this time. And I was like, cool. I don't really go outside.
I love being outside. I love being outside knowing that I can have a chance to go inside sometimes. I'm like a cat.
I take my dog outside. And then when he's done, I get excited because I get to go back inside.
I do have one other relation to the fort, because Rob, yes. I know you're super proud of your lordship, but I am in fact a certified prince. I was prince of the Winter Carnival at the Old Fort William, and they never had that competition again. So that means that my reign is still standing. You know, your lordship is nice, but I am still prince.
I'm going to challenge you for your princeship.
Oh, absolutely not, because that's me declaring why I have domain over that area in the zombie apocalypse. I am in fact the prince of that fort, and I am the highest ranking person within it, and if the king returns, I shall slay him.
I'm so excited to die in a zombie apocalypse, but I have to deal with none of this.
We've established, though, first we're duct taping knives to you.
I'm just gonna die.
I thought it was established on our show that first we duct tape knives to you.
I'm just gonna
chainsaw arms.
He's gonna take the knife and stab himself. What do you mean?
You gotta let us, like, de-weaponize you. Like, can we get like one of those bondage gags just so you can't fight anybody? I mean, if you're gonna die in the zombies anyway, like, you have to help us out. Like, can you, wouldn't you want a noble sacrifice?
Fight me.
You want to turn more people into zombies?
Yes, I do. There's a whole, remember, the whole reason I'm doing this is to join the winning team.
But, I mean, don't you can give us a fighting chance by being a double agent, don't you? You should be a double agent, Kyle.
I'm gonna set off a bunch of bombs inside the fort before I die.
No!
Dead man switch.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm just gonna tie it to my heart, and then, like, when my heart stops, the wall blows up, and I'll be like, we're going.
Lord Rob, you still have a place in my fort, and I believe we could make a great team together. This is only in case of zombie apocalypse. I am the higher-ranking official. If we ever wind up in... What's our country's name again?
Urination.
Urination. Oh, yeah, I should remember that. If we wind up in urination, though, you're in charge. But if it's zombies and we're in the fort, I'm in charge, but we still work together. Is that a deal, Rob?
I mean, I'll eventually overthrow you.
I mean, and we have that understanding. Eventually, one of us is going to overthrow the other. That's just going to happen. But, I mean, we need to secure our positions of power before we betray one another. Like, we know that. But, Lord Rob, I do have just a request.
In a zombie apocalypse.
Step one... In a zombie apocalypse is you have to disable Kyle, so I'm going to need you to...
Kyle's already disabled.
Not as a zombie. As a zombie, none of that matters. If he can bite, he is a danger. So in the case of a zombie apocalypse, we're going to need you to cover Kyle with a bunch of knives.
What's the fat one in Left 4 Dead?
Boomer.
Yeah, I'll just do that. Yeah, I'll just show up and puke all over things and then
explode. Blow up.
No, you'll be a smoker from how much you vape.
I will definitely be a boomer because there's no difference.
My eye like acting.
You'll just be the vapor. You'll just go. He'll just soothe you. He'll give you SMR, and that'll make you feel
just
super
point out
and he'll get close, and he'll bite you.
Chris is the one that's vaping right now.
No, there's no proof.
I haven't done it this whole show. Chris has been vaping over here.
Good job.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
See?
I don't know what you're talking about. It's you.
You know?
You're the imposter.
Acting kind of sus there, Green.
What?
Oh, speaking of sus, Andrew, you played your first few rounds.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what Kyle's complaining about. I get to be the imposter all the time.
Not only did you do imposter, but Andrew, how many times did it take you to swipe the card?
Oh, once. I did it my very first try, and I even stuttered a little bit in the middle because, I mean, you've seen my mouse, Kyle. I don't have a high-performance gaming mouse. It has the secret of free energy inside it, but it's not the most accurate thing. So I kind of was like, first time. God, it's card's super easy. You just need to know how to swipe your debit.
Hey, you just can't be Cords who does it 30 times within four rounds.
Okay, hold on. So I could clip it in the last stream where I had card swipe and I sat there. I was like, bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam.
Okay, so they were like, you can't go too fast or too slow. And then I learned there's a third mistake you could make.
Oh.
What's
the third one?
The third mistake just tells you suck. And like,
please tell me it's just RNG.
I got that a couple times where it was like, bam, and it was like card error, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
But I mean,
so far to not play Among Us.
You can get it on your phone. You can get it on your phone. It's mobile as well.
For free.
Here's the problem with that.
The same thing. Okay,
Megan hates these kinds of games where part of the component is that you have to lie to everyone about being the bad guy.
I've seen people admit it and just still get away with it.
Yep.
But see, here's the thing.
That was one of my strategies. I would just out myself. I'd just be like, yeah, guys, it's me.
But see, here's the thing, Megan. You promised.
Yeah, I know, I did.
Oh, okay. So we'll get.
You're saying that like I'm denying to play. Like I'm.
Well, that kind of sounded like it for a bit.
I don't want to play. No.
You went.
No,
she doesn't want to, but she's going to. That's what she's saying there, Rob. That you are holding her against her will.
Hostage.
Megan would have to fix her laptop just for the sake of Discord.
Oh no.
I don't think you can do both.
It's something we can work on and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But Megan, speaking of playing things, I understand you have some gripage.
Oh boy, do I. I'm so
Megan,
mad.
Megan, what you been playing?
So mad. Okay, so I attempted to play the new remothered installment, Broken Porcelain. Okay, so let me just set this up. Daryl Arts made a game last year, Daryl Arts. so mad at this company. They made a game last year called Remothered Tormented Fathers. It was decent. It was okay. Like, I wouldn't say it was like, oh, wow, the most amazing game. It's going to revive the survival horror genre. Oh, so good, you guys. And it's like your classic kind of run and hide away from the person that's pursuing you sort of game. Like, you know, you got your Outlast, you got Maid of Scare is another one that kind of came out recently that's like that, you know, and it's like very like, Clock Tower, Hunting Grounds, cool beans.
A lot of defensive murder
decided
games.
That I, yeah, and I was really into the idea of it because I was like, wow, this looks pretty decent. Like, kind of has like Hunting Ground vibes, and like the main character literally looks like Jodie Foster, and there's like a lot of like Silence of the Lambs kind of like analogies with like the deadhead moths and stuff, and it's like really interesting. And the first game was good. Like, so some of the mechanics in this game are like, you can find weaponry around, like you can find like a letter opener. Mm-hmm. If you get caught and you get damaged and they grab you, you can use the letter opener to like stab them, and it gives you a chance to run away to a place to hide, right? So cool. Really enjoyed that part. And the story is you are a woman and you are trying to find someone who has gone missing. You're trying to find this girl that you went to kind of like a nunnery with. And the story is super convoluted, as with this genre of kind of survival horror games. Like, the story doesn't really make sense all at the beginning, and it's just kind of just brings it all in at the end. I'm like, cool. Yeah. So at the end of Tormented Fathers, you realize, hey, there's like half a game missing. So I knew that there was going to be a second one because it ends like on almost like a cliffhanger. And then they announced Broken Porcelain, and I was like, bet.
Nice.
I'm just going to finish this game. I just want to know the story. I want to know what happened at like the nunnery before.
Yeah,
because, you know,
I mean, they left you hanging there, and that can feel kind of unsatisfying with a game sometimes, where you're just like, oh, come on.
Literally, and like, they infected these people with like a disease, and the disease was like, there was this drug that could fix you. So if you had like mad PTSD or anxiety or something, this drug would just take that all away from you. It would just take those memories away, and you would be cured, and you would be normal. But it didn't make you normal. It made you like superpowered, and you could like blind and like hear stuff, and it was like really stupid.
It turned you into.
But anyways,
Daredevil?
Guess so. I don't know.
Wake me up.
Like, again, it's super confusing. Wake me up inside. Save me. Literally, that's me playing this game. I'm so upset. So you play as the girl that you're trying to find in the first game.
Okay,
and you're
so you get to
younger.
See the other perspective.
You get to see the other perspective. You get to see how this all starts off. And again, super convoluted. None of it makes sense. And the gameplay is so awful. So bad. In 2 years, they screwed this game up so bad that it's literally unplayable. So the enemies are like sight and sound based. So if you like go into their line of sight, they see you, they chase you, they try to kill you. If they hear you, they find you, they try to kill you. And they are just so easy to find where you are, and sometimes they just set it up where the enemy is like right in front of you, and it's like, oh, run away, but they're right in the same room as you, and one of them even has a gun at one point, and if they like hit you, you stumble and you fall and you try and get up, and then they hit you again and you try and you get up and you're defenseless, and it's just so awful. And one of the only good parts of the first game was you could like peek the door open a little bit first and check and see if enemies were around, and then if the coast was clear, you could just open the door and, you know, go through and do your tasks or whatever. In this game, it's so broken. You try to open the door and it gets stuck. Like, you try to open the door like a little bit and there's no visuals. Like, it, like the door is stuck, like almost being open but not.
And so
then you try to
really
open
helpful.
The door and you, no, you can't even open the door. You have to like go out of the like animation. And then you try and open the door, and the door open prompt is totally gone. You have to, like, take a step, couple steps back, and then when you go back to the door, hope that the door prompt is, like, there again. It's, like, busted. Like, it took them 2 years to, what, break this only mechanic that was good in the first game? It's just, like, hot garbage.
They actively made the game worse.
They had a good, decent, like, ground, and then they tried to make it better. Like, they added some more little things into it. Like, there's, like, a crafting sort of, like, inventory that you can open. But if you open it and your attacker suddenly finds you, good luck trying to get out of that menu because it's literally impossible. Oh, I'm so mad at this game. So frustrating. And there's no footsteps or music to let you know that they're nearby, which was what was prominent in the first game. Mm-hmm. You hear them like walking around and you could hear like the spooky music if they got too close or whatever. But yeah, in this game, all you can rely on is you can hear them talking to themselves and they don't make like a lot of footstep noise. So you just kind of have to guess where they are.
Oh.
And it's like, I don't know how in a 2-year time span, they just broke this game.
I'm reading reviews as you're talking about this.
Being like, what's the word? Jaded? Like,
yeah.
And, I don't want to finish this game.
No,
I don't
want to
bring it back and return it because I don't even want it in my company anymore. I don't want to subject anyone else to this game.
This Defeat Mr. Ashman is a scripted loss sequence, eh? Where you have to, like, this man with the gun or whatever, it tells you to stun him with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Wow. You gotta love scripted loss sequences.
What's that?
Yes.
It means it's a boss you're not supposed to beat.
Oh.
The ones where you have to lose to continue the story.
So if you actually win, does it just
break
it?
There's no win.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Yeah. Nobody is ever thrilled with a scripted loss sequence boss.
But I mean, like, it's a very valid complaint if a lot of the things, like the mechanics of the first game, so it means that they know how to make that and do it well, and they just didn't this time.
Yeah, it's...
But Megan, you gotta answer
visually,
those important questions.
The game is pretty decent. It's got decent visuals. Like, it looks pretty.
Yeah. But
the most important question, does the dog play fetch?
There is no dog.
That's 0 out of 10.
Yeah, so this one is moths, actually. You find out that you are, like, you can summon the deadhead moths to, like, do your bidding. Like, you can see through their, like, eyes.
Moths play fetch.
No, they don't. They don't
moths
even do anything. Like, it's impossible to even control them. You're trying to get out of this, like, what was it? It was, like a meat locker, like one of those meat fridges. You're trying to get out of one of those, and you're trying to use the moth for the first time, and it's, like, weird, tanky flight controls, and it's just like, hey, just fly this moth into this power thing and just short it out.
Fly moth in the lamp.
Go, Mothra!
Literally,
I choose you!
Go, moth. And, like, it's just so bad. They add, like, this level-up thing where you find all these moth keys and you take them to this box. And you can level up, like, you know, how your footsteps quiet when you run. So you can, like, run around and not have to worry about being, like, heard so much.
Stealth
mode. All this other stuff, which was great additions to the game. Yeah, stealth mode. Which were, like, they had a great idea of what to add to this game, but it just sucks so bad. And, like, the thing with Mr. Ashman is when you meet him as an enemy, he's in the room with you, and he has a gun. And you have to try and get past him to grab the fire extinguisher to get out of the door. There's only one way to get out of there. And it says, hey, equip the fire extinguisher. And if you have other things in your inventory, it'll auto-equip those instead of the fire extinguisher. So you literally have to drop everything else that's in your inventory to equip this fire extinguisher, and it just auto equips by itself, and it's so stupid. So you, like, blast him with the fire extinguisher, like, a couple times if you can. Like,
okay, hold on. So I'm looking at this review, right?
Yeah.
And I swear to God, this just sounds like Megan wrote this whole thing. Like, somebody's just like, throwing bottles hardly stuns. Why is Loon driving in a peanut shape? What do you mean I have to startle the dog? What do you mean I have to trick Andrea? My motion is a lot. How can you slap? Why, dude? Controlling moth is awkward. Why is left mouse click shoot gun and skip cutscene? Why do cutscenes end so quickly? Did you run out of room on the cartridge? Graphics are nice. The enemies have a 540 ping. Story's interesting. Jen and Lynn are cute. Autosaves. What am I playing? Mass Effect 1? Music is nice. I like playing as Porcelain.
Please no kill dog.
Please no kill dog. I kept accidentally looking through doors because I hold my mouse button 0.1 second too long. Thank you and hello.
Ooh.
Ah!
That's literally how I feel about this game. Because, like, I'm getting to the point with the dog. There's a dog at the door, and, you know, you're running, you're trying to escape the inn that you're staying at, and you're trying to run, and this dog jumps out, and he's like, bark, 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 bark. And it's like, oh, gosh, what am I supposed to do? So I try and run into another room, and there are three people, three of them, trying to kill you at the same time, and literally one enemy is hard enough, and they're like, yeah, there's three of these people trying to kill you. Guess what? Yeah, have fun with that. Oh, by the way, now you have to try and, like, distract the dog while you're trying to defy being died by these three other people. And I'm just like, when am I gonna have the time to do this? And it's like, oh, just do it quickly when you hide in this little spot, because
defy,
I'm like,
being
okay,
died?
Well, how are you supposed to get defy being died, literally? And it's like, it just dumps all this on you at once. There's no pacing. And the pacing is the part that really irks me. Because, like, if you don't set up, there's no, like, good level setup, if that makes sense. Like, there's no good level design. It's not set up well. It definitely had a lot of potential, but it wasn't executed properly.
And it's definitely got to be a big letdown when you had a good time with the first game, and then the second one just messes up a lot of the things that you enjoyed about it.
It was. I mean, this one was, like, a lot more intense. They did address a lot of things that, like, were, like, really messed up, like, from the first game. Mm. And, like, the best part about the first game was, like, getting, like, chased around by this, like, half-naked old dude being, like, he was going into all the rooms looking for food, and he was like, there's nothing to eat, it's all moldy. He's just like losing his mind.
That's an interesting game mechanic that you enjoyed.
Yeah, Megan's favorite is chased by naked old men.
Looking through moldy food. That's hyper specific.
It wasn't a game mechanic that I enjoyed, but it was like funny.
It sounds like a subreddit.
Ooh, gotta run away from this creepy guy trying to shank me with like some like garden shears, like. And then they really screwed it up this time around, because the first one, when you would sneak around in the mansion, I guess, and it was like dark and it was like lightning, and sometimes you would peek around the corner and you wouldn't see him at first, but then the lightning would strike and it would illuminate the entire room and you would see him there and you would be like, oh gosh, what's my next move? Where am I gonna go? Like, oh boy, I have to find a different place to hide now. And in this one, everything is like lit up and like the enemy is just always on your butt 24/7, and it's just like, ugh. I had high hopes for this game. I just wanted to finish the story, to just kind of complete it. But at this point, I just don't even care, because it's not worth the stress. And I think that that's really important, that we have to like kind of realize that taking a step back and being like, hey, I'm not enjoying this game whatsoever, instead of being stressed out about it and just being so furious.
Remember Darksiders?
Yeah, Darksiders 3, I heard
remember
that was like really
remember
important.
How I was so determined to beat that game that I broke a controller?
Oh gosh. And see, that's what I mean. We shouldn't
beat
like
that game.
I did it.
I know you were very determined.
I did
but
it. Chris, you've been there like easy, get out of here. I did it.
Even if I dumbed down like the setting to like easiest gameplay, I still think it would be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Because of how they set it up, because of how the level design is made. They just expect you to just like dip into like one spot for like a split second and then like just know automatically what you have to do. And I think that is kind of a
dumb
move on their
part. It feels
a lot
of trial and error, but not intuitive.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not fun, like it's not enjoyable. It just feels like stressful at this point. Yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
You can shack fu it. Yeah, you can destroy it. Destroy the evil. Don't let it pass on. There is a community where they've been trying to collect every copy of Shaq Fu so they can destroy it and remove Shaq Fu from this world.
You guys don't even know.
Sad.
These are great games that you guys are just throwing out.
I'm just really hoping, because I am playing through Blair Witch with my friend, and then we are playing Dark Pictures Little Hope afterwards. And by Dark Pictures Little Hope, I mean Dark Pictures Not Silent Hill. It's basically Silent Hill, but not.
No, it's...
Yeah, It has a lot of Silent Hill vibes. Like, even the trailers, I was like, oh yeah, it's not Silent Hill. It's gonna be great. So far we're enjoying the Blair Witch. The best part is the dog, and the dog does play fetch.
10 out of 10, best game 10 ever.
Out of 10.
Hold on, how you treat that dog affects the ending that you get.
Well, of course, and we're treating the dog very well. It's good, yeah. I mean, it's just like walk around, adventure, go through the story, find out a little bit about the character that you're playing as. You're trying to figure out what happened to a boy that went missing. So far, so good. So far, so good.
Andrew.
Yeah?
If you'd like to see Blair Witch gameplay, check out VOD on twitch.tv/frozenfire727. I played through the Blair Witch.
Oh, I could check
in
that out.
4 hours.
It takes
their VOD still even up?
They're all up. I don't delete any unless somebody was dumb.
Oh no.
So I have a complicated relationship with the Blair Witch, mainly that I've actually not liked any of the Blair Witch movies.
The only
The
first one, the only good thing about it for me is it was a movie that I was so scared of that when I finally watched it, I was no longer afraid of horror movies.
Because
It's not scary. I was so mad by the end. It retroactively made me not afraid to watch horror movies anymore and made me enjoy them just because I was so... It was one of those like early hyped up movies through the internet. So their whole, it really happened thing kind of messed with me. But then I watched it. You didn't get taking a leak in the corner at the end. So, I mean, Kyle, at the very least, can you tell me that in the ending, is there any point in this game where someone is just standing in the corner taking a leak? That's not a confident no. Okay, is there anyone just standing in a corner?
Okay, but that's part of the Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
spooky standing in the corner?
Yeah, actually, the game's much scarier than the movie.
Okay. If you can make Avon corner standing scary.
Andrew, so from how much I've played of it, I will like let you know that the Blair, like this game Blair Witch, it's not really like the stuff that I've gathered from the movie. Like I haven't actually watched the movie, so I don't really know. This game is actually good.
The Blair Witch movie was good.
It was not.
For starting an entire, restarting an entire genre of found footage movies.
So there So I will say that there is some found footage in the game, but it's not a game based around found footage. You are not using the camera like yourself kind of thing. Like, it's not the shaky cam style gameplay.
Okay.
Like, you do find a recorder and you have to... one of the cool game mechanics is in the recorder, if you watch the tapes that are found by, like, the dog or, like, just, like, on, like, a tree found hanging somewhere. The dog will bring you tapes. The dog is so good! I love Bullet so much!
Bullet finds everything for you.
He is such a good boy. We love Bullet. He's so good. Bullet is your like little companion. He's basically your like emotional support dog, but he's also like your canine unit, like doggy kind of thing. So he's like very good at like finding stuff for you, and he helps you find clues, and he brings you tapes that he'll find sometimes. And when you have the recorder, you use the tapes, and in the images of the tapes, sometimes things will change, so you can rewind time and like say someone dropped something. Suddenly, when you pause on that, that item will be in your reality and you can pick it up and inspect it.
Yeah, okay. It's a reality-changing VHS camera.
It's very good!
I mean, it might work from a gameplay perspective, but Kyle is also... Oh, it started the found footage genre, and I'm like, Kyle, you remember that genre of horror I have a huge issue with?
Listen, found footage is a good horror... It's a good horror series minus, like, Paranormal Activity 4 or 5, whatever the last one was.
Yeah, just for those ones.
Hear me out, Andrew. Have you ever seen the film theory about Blair Witch?
No, I don't think
it's
so.
Watch it, because it completely recontextualizes the concept of the movie. Instead of it being about a spooky ghost, it's about the two guys planning a murder to kill the girl.
I mean, that'd be a more interesting way to take it, but I've seen both Blair Witch 1 and 2. The second one is far worse. Yes. Yeah, the second one has nothing to do with the first one. It has nothing to do
with Blair Witch, period.
I mean, I never watched the first one, so.
The first one, a bunch of people go camping looking for an urban legend, and they're never found. You just find the tapes they left behind because they were making a movie.
Neat. I saw the robot chicken skit. That's all I got going for it.
I looked up found footage movies. I looked up found footage movies, and you know the famous found footage movie 6 - 5 = 2.
I've never heard of that one, Kyle. I can say.
Or how about Ratter? Or we have. I have seen like 4 of these.
Troll Hunter was good.
Troll Hunter was great. Cloverfield technically is a found footage movie.
I liked it.
Okay.
Technically, it is.
The Wreck series was good.
I don't think it's good.
Always Watching, yeah, I think.
Watching, like, the Marble Hornets YouTube
series. Good Slenderman movie.
Is an actual good... I think it's on, like, episode 600 something.
I own the DVD of it, because I think it's good.
Isn't it still going?
Possibly. But the reason I like Marble Hornets is because of one simple reason. They actually give a reason to why they don't put the camera down.
Okay.
You can't see him
with your own eyes. You have to see him through a lens.
Yeah, you can't see Slenderman without the camera.
See, okay, and that I can deal with. That at least they have more of a reason. I've just had an issue with a lot of found footage movies because they tend to be usually don't have to show that much. And it's the same problem I had with the Blair Witch. Is the reason that they don't have any monster in the Blair Witch is because that would be expensive, and I understand that from like a filmmaking perspective.
there's
like,
monsters.
You don't have
a
monster in your friggin' monster movie. It just makes me upset because I'm like, I'm here to see a monster at the end.
You got tree monsters in the game.
Yeah, in the game. So these monsters in the forest, they're like really creepy, actually. They show up, and Bullet is an indicator of where they are, kind of, and if they're approaching. So Bullet will start like growling and barking in certain directions. So when you enter like facing off against these creatures, your best bet is to just try and like find a clearing, tell Bullet to stay close to you, watch Bullet, see where he's barking, and then shine the lights in the trees, like your flashlight. And then if you're aiming at the creature like properly, the creature will like blow up and then leave you alone, and then Bullet will indicate where the next one is coming from. Yeah, it's actually really interesting, like fight scenes kind of thing, because like it's like, oh gosh, where are they coming from? Where are they coming from? Oh gosh. Yeah, me and my friend, we were like really into this game so far. We got the good boy pack, so we got to give him a little Halloween costume. He's got skeletons. He's skeleton dog, which at the beginning of the game you can choose the color coat that you can give Bullet, and we chose white because we thought it would show up in the forest really easily. Turns out it doesn't. So when we put the costume on the dog, when we put the skeleton costume on the dog, he's like black and white, so you can actually see him way better as a skeleton than you can if with a straight white coat.
He's a little skelly dog.
He's a little skelly dog. He's so good. He's so.
You know what? I'm back on board with this game because now it has spooky dogs.
It's honestly not the worst game. It's got like 5 endings.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's something.
It's free right now. On the Epic Game Store, it's free.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay, that's a good excuse to play it.
Yeah, definitely.
We need to head to our last break here, folks, but stay tuned to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
me and Rob, we did have a good time not too long ago. DC tried a new experiment, and I didn't know exactly what they were doing, but it's kind of fun. They did a choose-your-own-adventure story centered around Jason Todd with Death of the Family. But it's less of just a regular, like, sort of movie, and one where it's more centered around what are the alternate choices you could have taken within the Under the Red Hood film that can lead in so many different directions.
Well, I like it because it's kind of what Death of the Family originally was, is it was a you vote to see if he lives or dies.
Yes, and that's something that I liked about seeing in this film. So it is essentially an extended animated cut of the Under the Red Hood film. So it uses kind of that as its basis for the beginning of the story, all the way up until the point where Jason Todd, as the second Robin, winds up inside the warehouse. The bomb's about to go off, and he's been beaten with the crowbar. So they give you three options in the beginning, where you can rather get a summary of the Red film by just having him die, or you can have him rather be saved by Batman, or have him cheat death and have him save himself.
This movie goes darker than we expected.
Uh-huh. We thought we were going to choose the happy, cheery option first, but often the thing the movie does is subvert your expectations from the option that you chose. So one might sound like a lesser one and ends up usually being the darker option.
And we thought cheats death. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine.
Jason escapes.
No.
So I gotta say this was the official moment where both of our jaws kind of hit the ground. It's Jason survives and he decides, I'm just gonna start, you know, killing criminals. And
it's not just that he survives. He doesn't escape the blast. He just lives. But he's in constant pain all of the time. His face is all scarred up. The thing that he remarks is, the thing I hate the most is that they all look at me as a victim and what could happen to them if they screw up.
Yeah, so the moment I'm talking about is we're hearing, like, through news broadcasts that Jason Todd is going around killing all the criminals of Gotham. And then we cut to the Riddler's body and then his face, like, with his eyes rolled back dead. But then they start zooming out and the body and the head aren't connected anymore.
No, he has not only decapitated the Riddler, he laid out his body in a question mark where he had the head as the period.
Yeah, so that was the official moment where both you and I kind of went, oh, oh.
It's one of these kinds of movies.
Something I liked about that path that we went down, because we followed to like the its fullest conclusion, and we did everything. We did everything in there. But one of the moments that I talked about with you were, I'm like, one thing I'm disappointed DC's never really taken advantage of is they've never had a real story between Damian and Jason outside of Batman Inc., where they actually have a lot in common as the Robins, as they were both like the angrier Robin. They're the Robin that has taken a life, and that's something I feel like there's story potential there. And we get at the end of one of the story paths where Talia approaches Jason after he's been killing criminals. And Talia says, this is my son. I've had it with Bruce. And I want you to take care of him. And I hope that will bring you back to him. And then Jason's just like, I'm going to turn this kid into a weapon against Bruce.
And Talia just goes, yeah, okay, that works too, I guess.
Well, I mean, it was more like he kind of had like an
inner monologue.
One thing that does kind of stick out is, for the new footage, you can tell that the microphone quality isn't the same. So they replaced Jason Todd's voice, and he's not as good, and his microphone quality is definitely different than from footage from the original movie.
Jensen Ackles was like the perfect ideal casting for Red Hood in the original movie.
One of the stories that I did really like as well, they did a couple. One thing they did is, on a lot of the story paths, they started doing deep cuts into DC lore. So one of them where Batman saves him, I believe. What happens with that one is Batman saves him, but Batman dies instead. And when you follow on this story path, Jason instead takes on the persona of the Red Robin, and it's the old, like, pre-New 52 Red Robin with, like, the black condom sort of cowl and such, and I really miss that outfit, and I like that they would bring something like that back. And
the reason they named him Red Robin in this version is because of all the blood.
Yes.
Because when Batman dies for you, you get the option of go vengeful or listen to Bruce's last request and don't be a killer.
Yeah, and that's something where I'm glad you get to see like the two options there. I at that point where you have him essentially against Two-Face, we chose to kill him, but they don't give you ever what you're going to expect. What ends up happening is this random kid steps in the way and starts talking him down not to do it. And, you know, ends up helping, you know, helping him out and saving him. And that turns out to be Tim Drake. So the last shot of that story path is you have Red Robin and Bat Kid.
I did like that because I was kind of worried that this be just some generic kid.
Yeah.
Like,
I made that remark too. It's like, oh yeah, thank you, responsible random kid that comes up and gives this, you know, random inspirational speech. And they go, oh, it's Tim Drake. I'm like, ah, crap, that actually is his character. He found Batman after Jason Todd died and said, hey, you're going a little loopy. You need a Robin to keep you stable, and that can be me. I can prove it. I found you. Wow. So, I mean, it worked for that kind of story for Tim Drake, and I was surprised with that. Go ahead.
I did like the fact that you get all the fun endings, but every time, I swear, you made a comment of, oh man, I wish they did this. 30 seconds later, you're like, huh, they did that.
I'm sorry. Is that bad? Is that, I'm sorry.
No, that's good, but just like one of those funny things where it's like, literally, you said it out loud.
I was intuitive of like where the story could go, and well, that's something, is like all of the story possibilities I could think of that they were could go in that direction, and they went in there, and then they still had things that brought in surprise to me. Like, I never saw the Tim Drake one coming, but it was a fun thing to play, especially if you're a Jason Todd fan. I think especially if you're a Jason Todd fan.
Are you to borrow this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. It's fun just to go through. And they also had the five shorts, which I forget three of them. Actually, I forget all of them.
We had the Sergeant Rock one first.
Yeah, I didn't even care. I don't even remember the war one. That essentially turned out to be Ape Shade, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we had Adam Strange.
Where Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
Space Frontier.
We had Phantom Stranger, which was directed by Bruce Timm.
Oh, yeah.
We had Death. That was a good one.
Death was the... that one was Sandman, wasn't it?
Yep.
That one was the one that actually... even though I haven't dived deep into Sandman, I enjoyed it the most because at least it felt like it had a intriguing story. I'm happy DC is giving a showcase in shorter form to a lot of their lesser known properties. Didn't make me want to read them, but I'm like, oh, those are nifty. Those exist.
Yeah. At no point did we go, well, that sucked. We just kind of went, okay.
Oh, it happened. Neat. Yeah.
This is a really not well-reviewed movie.
Actually, I'm reading a couple of these reviews, and I know exactly why they're not liking it.
Because they didn't buy the physical edition.
Yeah, because they didn't buy the physical the physical DVD, so they can't actually interact.
Yeah, this is something that's
a
20-minute
movie.
Yeah, so they're reviewing their torrents instead of, you know, getting the DVD and actually
doing it,
interacting.
Yeah, this is a film, you can't just download it. You actually have to be able to interact with it because you can't just watch the sequences in order or they're a jumbled mess. If you don't go through the sequences and choices, none of it's going to make sense. And I can still understand how some people couldn't like it because, as I mentioned, I do have some criticisms of it. Like, the new animation isn't as good. It is different from how good, like, Under the Red Hood stuff is. They do reuse a lot of animation. So they do stuff like they'll replace the sprite or like they'll redraw the character. So we'll see a scene that we saw from Under the Red Hood, but except he'll be dressed in like all bandages, or he'll be dressed as Red Robin, and you'll have the scene play out kind of differently. Sometimes when they decide to kill him, they go very gruesome. Like, we have Black Mask get his head crushed by a door and he just watch blood drip down, and it's pretty awesome. But there are less frames, and the new sound parts, the mics are different. It can be kind of jarring sometimes.
Yeah, like I would love to know why. Maybe it was a scheduling thing or something, but the original voice of the Red Hood, perfect.
Oh yeah,
I stand by that. Out of the DC animated, Under the Red Hood is their best film so far.
That's fair.
I see Kyle making a scrunch. Was that because of the review, or do you disagree with my statement about Under the Red Hood being the best animated film?
I think Emerald Knights is the best one.
Gee, I wonder why.
No, that's a fair. That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Under the Red Hood is one of my favorites. I have a trouble choosing the best. I've been diving down some Batman-y stuff too. Something that I've been wondering from when I would read comics more often was there's an answer they kind of left in hanging where Batman sat on the Mobius chair and asked it one question. What is the name of the Joker? And its answer was, there are three. And it's taken DC quite a couple years, but they finally writ the answer. And there's things I like about this story, but there's a couple things that, because of what they do, it makes that event make no sense. But that's the things that we like, the big thing that we learn and confirm in here. We actually get to see all three Jokers, and it's a story that's centered around Batman, Jason Todd, Red Hood, and the Barbara Gordon Batgirl. Of course, the three people the Joker has harmed. They pretty much set it up as this is the first time all three of them have been out in the open. All three of them commit a crime at the same time, publicly. So you have one of them, they go on a live podcast, and it was just a guy that dressed up as Batman. He called himself Fat Man, and he just cut out his tongue on live air and killed him.
Nice.
You have one that he left three random people dead and Jokerized at the Ace Chemicals plant. And then we had the third one where he took out the entire crime fam, the Moxon crime fam, and each of them. So they made sure that they were seen. So in the crime family killing, they left a witness that said the Joker did it. They had the live stream. And then on the Ace Chemical plant murders, he made sure he walked in front of the security cameras, smiled and waved him, made sure that he was seen in all three parts. And Batman finally has to confront now there are in fact three Jokers, and we get to meet all three of them. The three sort of characters we have are the clown, the comedian, and the criminal. With the clown, he's the one that's using, you know, your flower acid squirt ray. He's gonna have the one that's gonna have like razor sharp cards, and he's loves horrible jokes. So he's sort of your 1960s wacky Joker.
Cesar Romero.
Very much. Or any of those, like, you know, more Silver Age comics. And then you have the criminal, who is more of a crime boss. He's more focused. He's more sadistic. And then you have the comedian. He just seems to take pleasure in pain, and there's something more behind his smile.
The comedian was the one that crippled Barbara, wasn't it?
Yes. He is the one from The Killing Joke. And something when they're interacting is, even there, they don't seem to be quite sure who was the first Joker and who created the other ones. The criminal seems to declare himself the boss, but they all seem to be confusing whose crime was who. What they start setting up here is that they have a lot of cool little moments in here. There's a lot of tension between Batgirl and Commissioner Gordon. In the thought bubble, during their first interaction, Commissioner Gordon reveals essentially to himself that he knows Batgirl is Barbara. But by the end of it, you know, after this traumatic time with the Joker, you know, Commissioner Gordon keeps trying to talk to Batgirl. He's like, I hope you're okay. You know, I know there's a lot of, you know, stuff that's going on here, and now facing the Joker must be hard for you. And she just turns to him, and it's like, what I'm doing is my business, Dad, and leaves. And that's something that they usually haven't broken, that sort of wall. And that's something that happens a lot within this comic.
What I want to know is, so this is just me being horrible little old me.
Yes, absolutely.
In continuity, they explain that Harley Quinn hasn't yet indeed had her way with the Joker, so to speak.
It's not answered which one she was with. So Harley Quinn doesn't factor into this story, and I'm curious about that as well. And that's a question I think I asked before, is like, well, if there's been three of them this whole time, which one was Harley with, or does she know there were three of them?
I just imagine one day, you know, Harley's doing her thing, drops Joker's pants, and she's like, something looks different.
Where's the honker? Honk, honk.
So what ends up happening here is Red Hood is on trail. So Batman, you know, Batgirl and the Red Hood. Batman just flat out asks him, it's like, you're already on his trail. So have we, but you have information that we haven't been able to get yet. Let's put everything aside, put our differences aside, our history aside. Let's work together on this. And Jason essentially kind of poking back at him is like, oh, I thought the Joker was always your problem, that you want to work alone. And he responds, that's before there were three of them. Now I need you people.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't see Batman do often. He doesn't directly ask for help.
Usually the Batfam has learned to like kind of force their way into it. Batman can't say no.
Could just ask Superman to kill two of them, but that's okay.
Superman doesn't kill.
But I digress.
We'll get to that, Kyle, because they track one of the Jokers down to the aquarium. This Joker is the clown. He has poisoned all of the fish in the aquarium to be smiling fish, so they all have those Joker-eyed smiles from the little fish to the big sharks. And
less traumatizing.
Oh, yeah, but it's also like one of those classic sort of Joker gags from the zanier years. And what ends up happening is like this old Joker gang
goes and rushes all three of them. And one of the Joker had an old sidekick that hasn't been seen since like the 1960s called Gaggy. And he's just a little person who makes bad jokes. Jason ends up breaking open the shark tank and the shark just eats Gaggy. He's like, oh, well, his return didn't last long. So they capture the clown, and Batman gets a call from Commissioner Gordon's like, we have another, you know, Joker spotting. So Batman's like, you two secure him, make sure he makes it to, you know, Arkham. I'm gonna go help Jim. They leave Jason and Barbara alone with the Joker, and he wakes up and he just starts mocking Jason, going, you know, I really enjoyed it when you were when I was beating you with the crowbar. You know what my favorite time was? When you screamed out, oh, I'll do anything. I'll be your Robin. And I still killed you. So Jason pulls out his gun and shoots him between the eyes. Barbara tries to throw a batarang and he misses. And Barbara, you know, is furious with Jason. Just like, what did you do? Like, you killed him. Batman said not to do that. You just murdered him in cold blood. He was tied to a chair. And Jason just turns to her. When's the last time you missed, Barbara?
I'm sorry, but I always agree with Jason's philosophy of, you know, how many people has the Joker killed? So
Jason kills the Joker that maybe killed him. It's never really clear as well, because the Killing Joke Joker, the comedian, during one of the early scenes when we first get to meet him, the criminal is dressed in his outfit and the comedian's like, that's my outfit. He's like, no, it's not. So you're never even really sure, because all three of them have taken credit for beating Jason Todd.
It's got to be cathartic for him, though. It's just like, I feel better.
I like the comedian, though. You get quite a bit with him in the second book. It opens up where he's with this suburban family, white picket fence, nice house and such. And you got the wife and kids smiling, crying, and terrifying. But then the criminal comes over, says, what are you doing?